Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Our resident comedians Bethany Van Delft and Ken Reed are back in Studio 2 with us today. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yay. We're back.
Glad to have you back.
And you haven't raised the rent, which is nice.
So I'm going to ask you the thematic question of our conversation today. Why do we sometimes need to laugh when things are bad?
Because things are bad.
Things are bad.
There's nothing else you could do. You'd be completely helpless otherwise. It's a way to, even if it's a false sense of security, it's a way to claim ownership at least a little bit if you can sort of diminish how bad something feels by making a joke.
So you're saying, Ken, it really restores a sense of control.
I think so, yeah. Even if it's a false sense.
Bethany.
I like that. I was thinking more it's like cleansing your brain, or like it's kind of like a meditation. Like you have to,
She's just punching the mic right and left here in Studio 2.
The mic and I were.
She's a physical comic.
I'm a prop comic. Thank you for the mic. I think it's too weighty. It's too much. It's toxic. It makes you sick. So comedy gives you just a moment away from that. It's like a kind of like a reset, like deep breaths resets you to be able to handle whatever's going on now. I feel like comedy, or not comedy per se, but laughing at things, making light of things.
Well, also like to make a joke about something, you kind of have to break it down and understand it.
Interesting. So it's kind of like when we talked about satire.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of a way to like ruminate on something and break it down to its component parts so that you can find sort of the weak link.
Yeah.
That's the smart way of doing comedy.
I don't do that.
Yeah, you're a smart guy.
So no, I'm going to call foul on that because here's the truth, right? As the week is unfolding and all of these awful things are happening, I kept wanting to talk to the two of you.
Oh, thank you.
Right?
Oh,
no, it's true. Because there is something about the way with your humor minds, right? There's a critical thinking to get to the, okay, so one, there's a level of critical thinking to make something funny. And I think, Ken, my gut is that it is because A, we have to understand it, and B, I want to control it again.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, but the second thing is because there's a journey to one when things get funny and or can be funny. I'm going to play a little bit of sound. Okay. So we are going to go to September 29th, 2001. I was thinking about this week. September 11th has happened. Saturday Night Live has been off the air, right? Because, of course, it has. It's the first time they're going to try to come back up on air. Mayor Rudy Giuliani, then he's the mayor of New York, is speaking to the audience. Lorne Michaels, the producer, is up there. And the firefighters are on the stage. And the question comes from Lorne to Giuliani. Here we go.
Saturday Night Live is one of our great New York City institutions. And that's why it's important for you to do your show tonight.
Can we be funny?
Why start now?
But it was this very conscious choice. Lorne Michaels understood that he had to get permission from the mayor of New York to be funny again before they could be funny, right? How do you know when it's okay? Like the balloon. And I've got some Saturday Night Live sign on the balloon. We'll play it again, and we will play that actually in a minute. The balloon, it got pretty easy to get funny on that pretty quickly, mostly because it's a balloon.
Yeah.
But there is so much else happening right now here, right here in Boston, and then you step out to Michigan State, in Michigan, and you step wider to the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. And if humor is something we need, but it can be awful to laugh at something.
Yeah.
How do you know?
I think it's a read the room to a degree. It's time, context, and you have to have a gut instinct for appropriateness as well. So it's not, I don't think there's like a set formula. I think it depends on the scale and the situation.
There isn't a set formula. And also, you know, you can't, for me anyway, joke about suffering, people who are suffering. But you can joke about things that are peripheral to it, you know. Like the earthquake, you cannot joke about the people who are trapped, the people who perished. That you can't joke about that, but you can joke about how immediately after the news is like, well, none of these buildings were up to code and everybody took shortcuts. Like, it is not the time to be bringing up
complaining
that
about
you didn't
codes.
Check Angie's List before right. you made your building. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the time for that.
Okay, but so, here's the truth. I'm going to be honest here. I started to laugh at that and I covered my mouth and backed away from the microphone yeah. so no one would know that you made me laugh.
It's a tension like breaker, though, as well.
It's a tension breaker, and you're not joking about the horrible
it's the not at
suffering
the expense,
of the people.
Not piling on.
It's making fun of the tone-deaf media who right. are taking this moment to go, well, none of these buildings are up to code, and then like doing these deep dives on how many buildings weren't up to code. It's not the time at that. It's okay to take a shot at those people.
Right,
you know?
And people who are suffering can make jokes. That's the other thing, because, you know, we as human beings and as comedians, I'll go on a limb and say we're all broken comedians. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. Except for like maybe Will Ferrell.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think everybody else.
But it's, you know, it's
that was random.
Yeah. It's that defense mechanism. It's a way to control your situation, which is a big thing personally, but also to deal with your own sort of trauma and suffering. And so you not only develop that skill set for yourself, but you need to develop the ability to see that in other people when you're kind of like, this is their trauma to deal with, to make a joke about, not mine.
Right.
I think that's a
sort of like
piece.
I can say bad things about my family, but you can't say bad things.
Well,
about
yeah, but you should have told me that earlier. I didn't know.
Delete your tweets, Ken. Delete your tweets.
Okay, so first, let me just remind everybody, we're speaking with Bethany Van Delft and Ken Reed, who we speak with often, local comedians who help us not only sort of process how the world of comedy, especially Boston comedy, goes forward, but also how funny works, right, in a lot of different ways. And we really wanted to talk to the two of you this week at that intersection of trauma and funny. You know, the need for funny in the face of trauma and the perils of and the disrespect that can be attempts at being funny in the face of trauma. I'm going to note for listeners, because that's the subject, we're going to continue to bring up issues that could be traumatic for some, right? We've talked about 9/11. We have talked about the earthquakes. We're going to continue in that space. And so I just want people to know that. There are moments when we want to go to someone and have them make sense of things for us. One of our executive producer, Titus, was talking about Dave Chappelle after the murder of George Floyd and some stand-up that Chappelle did that it wasn't really as much about being funny as it was about processing. How do you two think about processing in public when people expect you to be funny, right, on these traumatic subjects? Or do you just like, I'm out, I can't do it, I don't do it?
I think it depends on the thing. I think it's a catharsis. So in some capacities, we can be sort of an avatar for processing for people who maybe aren't comfortable talking about a thing. It's Mr. Rogers who said, like, if you can talk about something, you could deal with it. Mm. And a lot of people aren't comfortable taking that plunge. So sometimes comedians will take the hit of, I'll process this publicly to give you something to either find a catharsis with or react to. But it is a fine line because you can't make it all about you, you know, like, oh, I'm so upset that this terrible thing happened to someone else. Like, so it's a balance.
During the pandemic, the show that I produced live, I did it on Instagram Live instead. And through the beginning of the pandemic and all the deaths, and then through the murder of George Floyd and everything, you know, I'm doing this weekly show, bringing comedians on. And when it was serious, we were serious. You know, when we had something serious to say, we said it. But also our natural way of processing is to see the absurdity around these terrible things that are happening. So comedians would be talking to me or, you know, from basements in their parents' house when they had like these great careers in Los Angeles or whatever. And it would be really sad and scary, but they're funny people. And so the bits and pieces that they choose to talk about surrounding this trauma and this grief were super funny. And that's what I think it is. It's, there are so many things in the periphery of any traumatic experience that are funny or absurd. And pulling from those things, I think, is it's healing, it's cathartic, and it's a little bit safer than yeah. punching down and you know, really making fun of someone's grief or their trauma.
Yeah, because comedy and horror structurally are identical.
No.
They are completely identical. So I always recommend the Stephen King book, Dance Macabre. It's a nonfiction book he wrote about the structure of horror. And the setup is exactly the same. The punchline is what's different. If you have an emotional connection to a situation, you're very invested in a character and a person. If something funny happens to them, you experience it funny. If something horrific happens, you experience it horror. But in both instances, you're getting a cathartic experience just with a different prestige, the way that they show it. But structurally, they're the same. And the example he uses is because of the clown at midnight, where, you know, a clown in the circus is funny, not to everyone, but a clown on your front lawn at midnight is horrific. But in the inverse, a monster on your front lawn is scary, but a monster in the circus is funny. So it's kind of using the same structure with just a different flair.
So the other thing that strikes me about this, I'm going to give a little bit of sound now. So okay, when we started this conversation and we were like, this is what we want to talk to them about, I'm being really transparent here. The pause is I am still uncomfortable. I am still uncomfortable that what we are talking about is that intersection between trauma and tragedy and when it's okay to be funny. And I will just tell you, I'm surprised that we're well into this conversation and I'm still uncomfortable. There's a little, when the balloon happened, the first one, not the 17 that we've shot down since then that are like weather balloons. When the first one happened, that had the potential to be quite scary. Right, that's spying, et cetera. It also had the potential to be racist because we have a history of AAPI hate incidents going up here in the country over the last couple of years, especially post-COVID. I've got a piece of sound and then a piece I'm going to describe from a cold open that Saturday Night Live did. So first, this is Kenan Thompson explaining the process of shooting down the balloon. He's being a U.S. Navy general.
I know there were questions about why we didn't shoot it down immediately, but we wanted to wait till it was over the coast so that it wouldn't fall on people or go.
Now, you go on later, you get Bowen Yang as the balloon, and he's kind of backdropped on some water, and he's got this whole, you're just take it away, okay? Just take it away.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's very funny humanizing a silly thing.
Yeah, and yet it's also the case that Bowen Yang makes several side references, right?
To being Chinese. Yeah.
Exactly, and the way we're approaching it and how we're approaching the fact that it is a Chinese balloon, right, et cetera. I also wonder, okay, so there's an arc of when something happens, right? And we're processing the tragedy of it. We're processing the trauma of it. But we're also, forgive me, processing the processing of it. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like comedy can guide or head off the processing of it in ways that might actually be healthy for us collectively. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you're saying it's preemptive trauma.
Preempting there we go.
It. Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of, In the aggregate of all this horrible stuff, something that on its own might just be sort of minorly disturbing is like the last straw sometimes. So something like that balloon. But if we can pick and choose the stuff that's easy target is not what I mean to say, but is appropriate in many ways there.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I wrote it down on a whiteboard. That's why she said that. But it's easy to knock that stuff off of the worry list, sort of, and sort of gauge the level of bad, especially now where, again, stuff is just constant. And the media, to Bethany's point earlier, with like focusing on the building codes, you know, it's like there'll be all this terrible news and then it'll be like, here's the box office numbers this week. Avatar,
so-and-so
Way
married
of the Water.
So-and-so.
Yeah. And so you're like, what is the scale of things now?
There. So pick that up. How do we process what the scale of things are?
We don't. I mean, honestly, I you have to compartmentalize, and you do have to allow the balloon, the cold open, to be funny. You have to let it be funny. You know, if you just lean into the horror of everything, you end up being a real sad person. I was raised by very leftist parents, and we went on many, many, many demonstrations, and we were always describing injustice and fighting against it. And a lot of the people on the left, while they were very good people, they were very unhappy people because they were just leaning into all of this injustice and grief all the time. If you can't find the funny, it kills you, I think. I honestly think so. And you just You lose the joy of being alive because no matter what's happening, right, it's still a miracle that we're here. Like, it's incredible that we're here and we wake up and we come to be the resident comedians on your show. If you can't find some joy and some gratitude for just even the miracle of being here, then what is the point of all of it?
Bethany really wants you to invite us back.
Yeah. All right. But so you know what I mean, right?
I do.
Like, if you lean into it, there's just, for me, there would be nothing.
Right. And scale's a social contract, you know, like we need someone to tell us what they think it is so we can react to it.
Exactly.
And we can all agree.
Yes. Thank you. All right. So two things here. One, I want to thank Bethany Van Delft and Ken Reed, our local comedians in residence, for helping us process this one today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And if you're not there yet, if you're still at that place of trauma and grief, or someone you love is and they're struggling with mental health, you can call the nationwide mental health hotline at 988 for support. Again, that number is 988 for support.